just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. That's right, it's time to go on the road again. Thanks for joining us here this morning. I'm Brian Caravu, your host, joined by our live blog directors, Jamie Jors and John Rahor. We're talking some Packers football. We're going to recap a win against the Minnesota Vikings this past weekend on Saturday. Then we're looking to go on the road again to San Francisco on Saturday Night Football once again. So another Saturday night, two in a row. But just being able to play football at this time of year is a fantastic and wonderful thing. So glad you all could join us on the show this morning. Let's get down to it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about a win on Saturday night. Wow. The Packers beat the Vikings. I think the story of the game is the Packers defense. There was so much attention on Adrian Peterson coming into the game. Been a lot of attention on Adrian Peterson for about two straight weeks. I kind of am glad to just not to be talking about him anymore, or at least won't be talking about him after about the next 5 minutes or so. But, I mean, the Packers defense, basically contained Adrian Peterson. I think he had 99 yards. Wasn't that nice, dude? Just one short of that 100 mark. But anytime you can hold Adrian Peterson to less than 100 yards, that's a good thing. And I mean, even more so, the other storyline is Christian Ponder inactive, kind of a surprise. He was listed as questionable, and he did kind of was limited in practice throughout the week, and that wasn't too surprising seeing him limited. But then to actually go and make the move and say, hey, he's not healthy, we're not going to play him, and then, totally make him inactive, so it wasn't even an option to play Christian Ponder, and you see Joe Webb in there, became the first NFL quarterback in history to play a playoff game without throwing a single regular season pass. Took a lot of people by surprise. And of course, Joe Webb showed he's Joe Webb, an athletic guy, a guy who you're certainly concerned about running the football, but the Vikings already have somebody that can run the football. They didn't need two running threats. They needed a passing threat. And Joe Webb just didn't have it. I mean, he was absolutely pathetic throwing the football. He was not on target when he tried to. He made some poor decisions in trying to get rid of the football, including one that ended up an intentional grounding penalty, and could have had another that was either picked off or intentional grounding as well, questionably. The Vikings just, he's not the answer for them. I think Christian Ponder has really done good things for that team over the past month. And when they lost him and lost the threat of any passing attack, the Vikings were doomed. I was thinking to myself, and sometimes I'm kind of almost scared to throw it out there, but when I saw Christian Ponder was inactive, I was like, man, I don't feel there's a way for the Vikings to win this game. I had even read somewhere that once Christian Ponder was made inactive, the spread on the game had went at like some Las Vegas casino went from like 7.5 to 11 points. It jumped up that much. That's kind of the way I felt. I'm like, if they can't pass, there's no way the Vikings can win this game. And they didn't. They didn't have, couldn't counter Adrian Peterson's running. And, Adrian Peterson did okay. And most of the damage was done on the first drive or two of the game. And I'm sure you're like me, it was a little bit excruciating that first drive. You want to see the Packers come out with some fire. And the Vikings, the first drive or two, really did take it to the Packers, drove down the field. The first drive, they get into the red zone and only come away with a field goal. And that was huge to get that stop. And, there kind of almost was a turning point. That first drive of the game,
the Vikings drive all the way down the field, and then the turning point, right at the end, Charles Woodson, the guy who's been gone for like two and a half months, he hits Adrian Peterson for a loss of 2 yards. A guy who's in the defensive backfield, hitting up for a loss of 2 yards. When your emotional leader does that, when your emotional leader comes back from injury to do something that big and forces that field goal, that was huge. That was huge. It was like the whole, you know, the Vikings had momentum there, and it was almost from that point on, it was all Packers. It was all Packers, and Charles Woodson was a big part of it. And, you know, it's a good thing, too, because, you know, that first drive, nobody was looking good. The defensive line, B.J. Raji was getting pushed around. But from that point forward, I don't, you know, like I said, the emotional turning point, B.J. Raji started playing better. Eric Walden started playing better. Eric Walden, remember that? Him getting sucked in on that bootleg play-action fake early on by Joe Webb. Joe Webb turns around, runs around the corner for a nice long gain. And then Eric Walden, after that point, played one of his best games of the year. Really held the edge, held his contain, got a little bit of a pass rush as well, got a sack in there. Good things coming from the Packers defense almost everywhere you turn. So fantastic job there on offense. I want to talk about DeJuan Harris. Now I try not to take this too lightly here, and I try not to go overboard, but I cannot tell you how impressed I am with DeJuan Harris. Absolutely impressed. I think the Packers offense changes entirely with him out there. And I think this is such a fantastic development. The Packers, he is different from almost every running back of the Mike McCarthy era and the Ted Thompson era. Whenever the Packers would invest in a running back, meaning they draft or trade for somebody, it's almost been a big guy. You know, think back to the trading of Ryan Grant. Here's a guy, here's a big running back, a tall running back, a guy who's you know, going to get you the short yardage yards. You know, think about the guys who the Packers have drafted, Alex Green, James Starks. These are all big running backs, you know, big guys, and you know, it's the Packers in this era have gone with big guys at the running back position, not the short, quick scatterbacks. And I don't think that's totally describes DeJuan Harris. He's stout. He's thick, but he's quick, though. And maybe that has to do with the whole change in philosophy the Packers are kind of in the midst of with the running game. For the first time this year, really, you saw him get away from that zone running game. I mean, not totally. They still stick with the zone blocking quite a bit. But they do a lot of more pattern blocking now, power blocking. And you see those guards pulling a little bit, things like that. You see him doing a little trap every once in a blue moon or counter. And you know, it's great to see that, and I think DeJuan Harris fits that, and he's been just a revelation. And it's not only that, and you know, here I think the best part is those check down passes he received from Aaron Rodgers on Saturday night was the secret to success, the key to the recipe, you name it. That was just so huge to have that option. You hadn't seen that all year. In fact, I know we've lamented here in the past when Aaron Rodgers wouldn't have anything open and couldn't either find a check down player or didn't have one or things like that. And DeJuan Harris provided that finally. You know, to just the Vikings played those deep safeties, and you got to think that, you know, the Packers have seen that all year, and they might see it more again in the playoffs. And if that happens, all you got to do is, you know, hit that little running back on the jump down. And I mean, those gains were not huge, but they help keep the chains moving. And that's all you need. I mean, all you need to do is keep those first downs. And now what you're going to see is if teams are going to stop to prevent that, if they're going to have they're going to make sure they're going to dedicate a defender toward, you know, stopping the running back on these little dump downs right in the middle of the field. Well, that's going to open things up for the wide receivers. That's why this is so huge for the Packers. That this addition of DeJuan Harris is, and you know, he's running well, and you know, his stats didn't look great on Saturday night, but part of that was because, you know, in the second half, they're just trying to run the clock out, and you know, they're rather predictable, and the Vikings just, you know, ganging up to stop the run. But I mean, he's got what they need in the running game. In the few times DeJuan Harris has done pass protection, he's looked good. I think that's it. You know, if we're talking next year in the future, that's going to be a key to DeJuan Harris staying on the field a lot and getting a lot more playing time, will be how much, and being used in different ways, will be how much he can pass protect. I think that's going to be big for him, because he's not being asked to do a lot of it right now, but when he has, he's done okay. I mean, I can't say enough about DeJuan Harris right now. Really. I think he's fantastic. And, you know, that could change in one fumble, I guess, my opinion of him. But, hey, it is yet to come. And everybody's hoping it doesn't come anytime soon, at least until the playoffs are over, right? So, fantastic job by DeJuan Harris in the running back position in general. You know, how about John Kuhn, the guy with two touchdowns? And wow, I mean, I read somewhere that John Kuhn is the only player in the NFL to score a touchdown in each of the last four playoffs. The only player in the NFL, John Kuhn, the only player to score a touchdown each of the last four playoffs. So, I wasn't the only person, because I saw on Twitter and everybody was calling for it. But, you know, after those two failed attempts on the goal line, I was like, do not give the ball to John Kuhn anymore. You know, as the Packers were sitting there, they were like on the 3-yard line, and, you know, they give one attempt to John Kuhn. I'm like, okay, I mean, that's fine. You know, giving John Kuhn one attempt, then they get stuffed on the second. You're like, oh my God, enough with John Kuhn. You know, he's just a one-trick pony, just a power back, and he does okay at that. And I'm like, you know, if there's the only time it's acceptable to give John Kuhn the ball is when the Packers are trying to run out the clock. I'm like, only give him the ball in those situations. But the Packers stick with him, and they run. They got away from just the straight dive, at least. And you know, they give him the ball again. He gets the touchdown on the run. Later on, gets the touchdown on the pass. And you know, there you go. And how about John Kuhn's like helicopter into the end zone as well? That is just a fantastic highlight to watch there. And kudos to John Kuhn for being the cult hero for the Packers, and you know, getting Packer Nation to scream his name every time he touches the ball. So that's great to see, and it couldn't happen to a better guy. John Kuhn's a good guy, and you know, but again, congratulations to him. As long as he keeps scoring touchdowns, whether it's the run or the pass, keep giving him the ball, Mike McCarthy. You know better than I do, so. As long as the Packers are winning, nobody's going to complain. So, I see question here, comment from Devil Doc on the live blog. Is there any news on Jordy Nelson and his knee? I haven't seen anything yet. So, Mike McCarthy holds his post-game press conference yesterday on Sunday. And the news is at least, you know, they haven't gotten through everything yet, but Mike McCarthy said there is no major injuries. And I mean, certainly that left the door open for minor injuries, but he declined to elaborate because basically the players were still going through testing. But there you go. I mean, no major injuries. That's fantastic there alone. You don't want to see the Packers losing any players during the playoffs here. But, based upon the comments from these players post-game, things I've read in the media, several outlets, you know, Green Bay Press Gazette, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, ESPNMilwaukee.com. Jordy Nelson said he'll be all right. JerMichael Finley, who left the game with cramps or a hamstring injury. I think you've seen different reports at different places. But they both say they're going to be okay. And, you know, it didn't look like anything too serious for either of them. So, I think the Packers will be okay. Get a week of rest here. I think they'll be ready for the game. Things could change here, but things looking good on the injury front here for the Green Bay Packers. So, interesting here. And you know, that's good news for the Packers moving forward as they get ready for the San Francisco 49ers here upcoming on Saturday. And to kind of transition a little bit to that game and talking about the 49ers and the upcoming opponent, what was really interesting about Saturday night's game is how the Packers face Joe Webb and how they're kind of going to get to see a little bit of those qualities in Joe Webb that they will see with Colin Kaepernick of the 49ers. I think everyone agrees Joe Webb is not a passer. You know, he doesn't have what it takes. I saw Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel describe him as scatter-armed, and that's kind of a good description. But I think everybody can agree that Joe Webb is a pretty decent runner and a threat to run the ball. And what the Packers saw here the most that they have all season was Joe Webb running the read option. And that's not something that's been common in NFL football until just this season. This is, if you watch college football, the read option is and has been part of the game now for a couple years. And it's saying that, you know, that NFL teams haven't done much because they want to limit the hits to their quarterbacks. But all of a sudden, you're starting to see a lot more athletic and mobile quarterback in the NFL, and it's kind of creeping into the game. And the Vikings ran it a couple times, several times on Saturday night, the read option. And so this is something new for the Packers defense, something they haven't seen a whole lot before. And what's interesting, if you can remember, going all the way back to week one when the Packers played the 49ers, if you remember that game, Colin Kaepernick played one snap. They brought him in for basically the wildcat look or whatever. But if memory serves me correctly, Colin Kaepernick ran the read option on that one play. So to see that in game one of the year, to see it here in game one of the playoffs, this is something the Packers are now going to have to prepare for a lot more. Because this is starting to become part of the NFL. And they also saw it a little bit against Russell Wilson in the when Packers played Seattle. Of course, that forgettable game. But I mean, the point being, they saw the read option. And they could see the it's a possibility the Packers could see the Seahawks again later in the playoffs in the NFC Championship game. So, you know, I think that's going to be very important for the Packers to learn how to defend it because the Vikings had success with it. You know, when Joe Webb would fake the ball to Adrian Peterson, the play action or, you know, the read option, reading the defense and finding out whether he's going to keep it or not. And Joe Webb kept it and he saw success on the ground. He kept the ball and ran well. And that's what Colin Kaepernick is going to do on Saturday night. He's going to, you know, and the Vikings are kind of, you know, similar to the 49ers too, and that they also have a good running back, you know, Frank Gore. And it's going to be the same thing. Instead of Joe Webb and Adrian Peterson, it's going to be Colin Kaepernick and Frank Gore. And the Packers are going to have to prepare for them both on the ground. And, you know, it's early here. But, you know, I am not yet sold on Colin Kaepernick as a passer. I think he's freakishly athletic. And I think he is an option on the ground. He's dangerous, you know, running the ball, whether it's the read option or just scrambling or on a bootleg outside the pocket, whatever. I think Colin Kaepernick is really dangerous, great athlete, whatever. I am not sold with him as a passer yet, and I think that's where the Packers could have an advantage. When you force them to throw, and they're going to have to force them to throw, they got to stop. John says here on the live blog, the key to stopping the 49ers is stopping Gore. And if the Packers can do that and force Colin Kaepernick to have to drop back and into those traditional passing, you know, attack, drop back, pocket passer on long third downs, the Packers are going to have an advantage because I think they can probably pick them off a time or two if they can do that. You know, if all of a sudden the 49ers are having success on the ground, you know, and their third downs are third and one, and they can get, you know, fancy with the kind of plays that they run on third and one, you know, whether it's keeping it on the ground or, you know, having, you've got options for Colin Kaepernick to either run or pass, that'll be dangerous, and that's tough for any team to defend. But if it's just Colin Kaepernick straight back dropping in the pocket, I think the Packers have an advantage. I think they can pick him off. And speaking of picking off, you know, going back here to Saturday night and you know, giving kudos to players and pointing out who may have played well, I think if we're going to talk about who played well, how about a fantastic game by cornerback Sam Shields? Wow, has he made strides this season. He looks like he was playing back in 2010, but better even, because, you know, he, of course, had the interception, and of course, when you make a play like that, everybody notices it, and it did a great job, actually, on a double move to slow down and then, you know, uses his speed to catch back up to the receiver and makes the nice play along the sideline, even just keeping his feet in bounds was amazing on that interception. Now, John says here, and this is the part I want to get to, Shields went up and absolutely stuck AP on that one run. Yeah, so what the Packers did, or what Shields did, is when he made a tackle on Adrian Peterson, it was fantastic for Sam Shields to, he uses his speed so well, and that is such an advantage to have out on the field, because he's the fastest person on the field there, at least the fastest person on the Packers, to use his speed to come up, to fly up to Adrian Peterson, who's stringing it out to the sideline. And so first of all, you know, Shields uses his speed to come meet Adrian Peterson, you know, when he hasn't gained much ground yet, and then to make the perfect form textbook tackle on Adrian Peterson just capped it off. I mean, that was a fantastic play. So you got Sam Shields making both plays in the run and the pass game, and when you're doing that, that's great. Other guys in the secondary play, great. Tremont Williams bounced back from a horrific game in the season finale against the Vikings to do very well this past week. I think Tremont Williams was credited with 3 batted passes. Great job by the secondary. Morgan Burnett coming up and helping to stuff the run as well. Good job. So, but totally impressed by Sam Shields. It just really, really thought that was impressive. And so I'm hoping the Packers can do that to the 49ers, get another interception. Maybe it comes from Casey Hayward. And you know, I'll just throw this out there too. We're talking about in the future, and it's always fun to speculate, right? You know, there's been a lot of talk about whether Charles Woodson will be with the Packers next year with such a high salary of, like, what is it, $8-9 million next year, and thinking the Packers might let him go. Here's a little sum for you to chew on. I think the Packers are going to have to make Casey Hayward basically Charles Woodson's clone, because if Sam Shields and Tremont Williams are playing cornerback next year, I don't think the Packers can afford to have Casey Hayward being the slot cornerback and not playing on every down. I think they need to make Casey Hayward the part-time safety and the slot cornerback and nickel and dime situations. Just think about that for a second. We're talking about next year here, and it's a little dangerous to get too much ahead of ourselves, and especially when the playoffs are at hand here. But I think next year, I think you make Casey Hayward a safety because he is too good of a player to be keeping off the field. That's the way I'm thinking about it right now. And things could change, but just keep that in the back of your mind. Remember, you heard it here first. I mean, I can remember back during the draft actually speculating that Casey Hayward could possibly play safety. Anyway. We'll get back to playoff talk here. Keep it in the here and now. Keep it in the present. Because that's what the Packers have at hand. And so anyway, I mean, go back to this matchup with San Francisco here. That's what's next. The Packers going, as we had a little Willie Nelson playing at the beginning of the show today, on the road again. And this is a place the Packers are used to, of course. We talked about it a lot. In 2010, they had to go on the road 3 times to get to the Super Bowl. This year, they only got to go on the road twice. They played at the friendly confines of Lambeau Field here Saturday. And now the Packers coming back, or having to go on the road, rather, starting this week in San Francisco. You know, that's tough going out to the West Coast. I think I saw somewhere the Packers are 4-1 at San Francisco in the playoffs. And I thought, wow, that's pretty good. Of course, the one loss being, you remember back in, 1998, Terrell Owens scoring a touchdown in the waning seconds to beat the Packers, a game that the Packers should have won. That's kind of one of those disgusting moments in Packers history. But the Packers, other than that, playing well out there. So that's a good sign, I guess. Not that the teams that won at San Francisco in the playoffs, I don't think there's any current Packers that are still a part of those teams. Well, Donald Driver, maybe. Speaking of Donald Driver, I guess we got to address the Donald Driver situation, right? He's inactive on Saturday night. The legend himself is inactive. You know, the Packers' all-time leading receiver. And this has kind of been a growing thing. The Packers have now made him inactive several times the last couple games, and you're just kind of seeing the end of an era. And Mike McCarthy addressed it yesterday, saying, you know, he's talked about with Donald Driver, and he's acting about it professionally. And I agree. I mean, Donald Driver is handling this about as good as you can handle. It's got to be tough for a guy like him to not be playing. No doubt about it. And, you know, but it's possible Donald Driver could still play, you know, during the playoffs. Unless the Packers have some injuries, maybe it's not a great chance. But, you know, he's going to be, you know, part of their options moving forward. But anyway, yeah, just kind of interesting. I mean, the Packers have always, especially at home, in front of the home field, Lambeau Field, they've always tried to keep him active. And I remember I was personally at the Detroit Lions game in December. And even though Donald Driver barely played, they still make him part of the starting lineups before the game when they announce the players coming out of the tunnel. You know, when they do the hand slap through the tunnel of players, you know, even though Donald Driver isn't even a starter anymore, technically, they still announce him and the crowd just roars because they love Donald Driver. They love the guy they've come to see on Dancing with the Stars. And the Packers have always kept him active at home. And then this time they didn't against the Vikings here on Saturday in what could be the end of an era. I thought it was fine for the Packers to keep Donald Driver this year. I thought he would play more of a role than what he has. I definitely thought he did. I foresaw Donald Driver a decline in production. But I thought, you know, what we saw last year from Donald Driver is basically what we saw this year. You know, last year, Donald Driver, although he had a down year, was still pretty productive. He caught like 40 passes and 8 touchdowns. I'm like, well, if they can get that out of Donald Driver in 2012, that would be fantastic. Well, they didn't. Although I thought they could still play more. But, I mean, I think it was fine. You know, people questioning keeping Donald Driver, I think it was, you know, I don't question that. I think it was, you know, for a guy who's basically taking up one of the last spots on the roster, I think that's fine to do with somebody who's a leader, who's a mentor, who can show young players what to do, how to handle their business. I think that's fine. I think you're getting your worth out of one of the last players on the roster. And Donald Driver scored 2 touchdowns this year. We'll take them. I'll take 2 touchdowns any day. You know? So I think it's fine for the Packers to keep him. Now, going forward, I don't know if you keep the Packers here anymore. I don't think you keep Donald Driver anymore next year. His contract actually ends after the season. And I don't know what Donald Driver's plans are. If he still wants to play, maybe he does. If he's hell-bent on playing, he's probably going to have to go play elsewhere. And, you know, whatever. I mean, if he wants to, he can go ahead and do that. He's a guy who's always shown, like, he can stay healthy for the most part. I mean, every player goes through, you know, little dings now and then. But, you know, I wouldn't blame him if he tried to do it. I mean, I would try to play as long as possible, too. But I think his time as a Packer is done. But, I mean, he's definitely somebody who the Packers, he can be, you know, the face of the franchise, and the Packers can definitely use him in some sort of marketing capacity, I think, going forward. But, anyhow, you know, talking about the here and now, the playoffs, we're past 9 o'clock now. Thank you everybody so much for joining us here on Railbird Central this morning. We'll be back again on Wednesday. We'll have Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com to help break things down here for us and talk about the past game here. The Vikings game, and then look forward to the 49ers game this upcoming weekend. So looking forward to that then. On behalf of Jamie Jorres, on behalf of John Rahor, I'm Brian Caribou. Make sure to stay tuned to Cheesehead TV for your news needs all week long. We'll see you later, everyone. Glad you could join us. I leave you today with, once again, Willie Nelson as the Packers get ready to go on the road again in the playoffs. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack. Go.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Going places that I've never been. Seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again.